So, when we discussed about Maya yesterday, we are saying that the Maya energy, Krishna's energy, Maya has also come from Krishna. So, we have seen that the perfection is not possible only in the body. Perfection is not possible with the mind. Perfection is not possible with the intelligence either, or with the false ego. None of these level perfection is possible. Perfection is only possible with the in the soul, on the spiritual platform. Only with the, and soul is always perfect. This is the most interesting thing. Soul is always perfect. And Purnam, Purnatvam. Purnatvam means perfection, isn't it? Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnam. Udachyate, Purnasya Purnam, Adaya Purnam Evava Shishyate. That verse in the Ishamanishad is indicating that to us. So, we saw there that even if we understand this, it takes a while for us to come to accept that, that perfection is not possible in this body. It takes a long time for us to accept that. It is not so easy. And that is why we try in this world somehow or the other to become perfect. In spite of knowing all that, still we will put all our efforts or energy in that direction. That how can I be perfect in this world? Perfect in this world. In other words, while keeping this body, while keeping this body, we want to be perfect with this body. Keeping this body. And that's something very difficult to change in a person. And same thing, we have some hope inside that one day it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Although we may say we'll get old, we're going to get sick, we're going to die and all that, it's not happening right at this moment. We are not behaving in that way. We are still thinking that it's not too bad, body is working, I'm unable to do things. So, and added to that, there are people in this world who will convince you that it is possible to become perfect in this world in some form or the other. So this word, that this foolish hope inside, in Shastram it's called Vyamoham. Vyamoham means it's a kind of delusion inside which is not going to happen, a foolishness inside. A delusion inside us and we're still thinking, oh, it can happen, why not? We can be happy. That's why I was mentioning this yesterday, that it is only because of that Vyamoham or disillusionment. People, even when they get older, they try to cover it up with dyeing the hair or covering it with the wigs and dressing up like young people to show to the world that I'm still young, I'm around still, I'm still there kicking. And this, although the person could be gone, they want to be youthful even while entering into the box at the end. They still want to feel they are looking good. They should look good. That's why in some people they put some nice clothes on the person after he's dead. So let him be satisfied with that even while leaving this world. So this is called Vyamoham. Vyamoham means this foolishness in our head that everything is going to be fantastic. I'll manage somehow. It's not going to go away. It's going to stay like that. This Vyamoham, it is mentioned like that, that coming from Maya. This is Maya. We're asking question, what is Maya? This is Maya. Maya Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpidam. Maya's energy, Vilasa Kalpidam. Maya plays with us in this way all the time. Vilasa Kalpidam. It is her pastime like this, to make us to think each time that everything is good, things are going on nicely, and even if I am old, she will make me think I am not old. I may be old and ready to drop any time, but she will make me think, oh no, it's not going to happen to you, you'll be okay. Maya kalpita vilasa, maya shakti vilasa kalpita maho vyamoha samharine. That vyamoham that is inside me is telling me that this is possible. I can remain young forever, or I can be, I'm safe, secure in this world. Everything is safe here. All this illusion Maya creates inside. സോ മായാകൽപ്പിത മായാശക്തി വിലാസകൽപ്പിതം മഹാവ്യാമോഹ സംഹാരിണേ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് വ്യാമോഹം, മഹാവ്യാമോഹം. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ ഗ്രേറ്റസ്റ്റ് ഡെല്യൂഷൻ ദാറ്റ് ക്രിയേറ്റ്സ് ഇൻസൈഡ്, മായ ക്രിയേറ്റ്സ് ഇൻസൈഡേഴ്സ്. സോ ദാറ്റ്സ് വൈ യു ആർ സെയിങ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ ദാറ്റ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ മാസ്റ്റർ, ദിസ് ഈസ് അഡ്രസ്സിംഗ് ലോർഡ് ശിവ, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് സ്പോക്കൺ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ മൂർത്ത ഇതം ശ്രീ ദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തി. ദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തി ഈസ് പൊസിഷൻ, ലോർഡ് ശിവായ സ്പിരിച്വൽ മാസ്റ്റർ ഇസ് കോൾഡ് ദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തി. സോ അഡ്രസ്സിംഗ് ഹിം ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് സ്പോക്കൺ, but spiritual master's duty is to remove this vyamoham from inside. It is spiritual master's duty, first duty is to remove this illusion from inside. Vyamoham actually means what is not possible, it will make us feel that it is possible, it is possible to happen. Just like what is not existing, we think it is existing. There are so many examples in the Vedantam to prove this Vyamoham. Vyamoham will tell us that what is not existing is existing. Just like when they saw the rope and they misunderstood as the snake. Misunderstood as the snake. Not only that, you have confirmed that there is snake there and you convince others also there is a snake there after seeing the rope. Because you are convinced yourself, so you tell everyone else. And to believe in that, that is called Vyamoham. So, in order to remove this Vyamoham, this illusion in our inside us, what is telling us that we are safe in this world, and we have this understanding that I'm going to be here forever, this kinds of illusion from our inside, that Siddha Aushadam, the medicine for that is to reflect. Medicine for that is to reflect. So, this reflection is necessary. Reflection is necessary. When we don't reflect, what will happen? This illusion will get stronger inside. This illusion will get stronger inside. So, if you remember, the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what we have discussed before, is Dhyana Yoga. Isn't it? Is Dhyana Yoga. Dhyana Yoga was the sixth chapter. And now, in there, Krishna says there that in Dhyana Yoga process, that the mind which is going after so many different things in this world, which creates a lot of chitta vritti inside. In other words, there's a lot of thoughts that's created inside. It should be able to focus on one thing. Somehow or the other, it should focus on one thing. And that is what is called dharana. Dharana in the yoga system. Yoga process, we are talking about Ashtanga Yogam now. Now you can see in Bhagavad Gita, there is Ashtanga Yogam, there is Jnana Yogam, there is Karma Yogam, there is Bhakti Yogam, everything there in the Bhagavad Gita also. That's like in the Bhagavatam. So when you talk about, Krishna says there in the sixth chapter, then along with that Jnana Yogam process, dharana must happen. Dharana must happen. Dharana means this mind which is wandering around all over the world, able to pull from everything back and focus on one thing. That's called dharana. And to be able to stay there. That is called dharana. So dharana is necessary, and either it has to be, this dharana can be in one or two different ways. Some people focus that on the form, Krishna's form. Or some people focus on Krishna's holy name. We chant the holy name, we focus everything on the holy name. So continuously focusing on the holy name, what will happen is this mind which has been wandering around in this world, it will lose its wandering nature and will become more absorbed in the holy name, and that is dharana. That is a dharana process. So and with the result of that was this chitta vritti will come to a stop. So this dhyanam, what we are discussing here, meditation, is not something that by our effort alone. By our effort alone. It has to happen in a natural way. It has to happen in a natural way. Without our effort, it has to happen. And when the mind becomes peaceful in that way, that is called dhyanam. That is called dhyanam. Dhyanam. So dhyanam, this is one important point in the Bhagavad Gita. That Ashtanga Yoga process is yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana. Dhyanam, samadhi. Eight processes, Ashtangam. In the Bhagavad Gita, the process says, Krishna saying, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he took from Kapila Maharshi Jnanam, Patanjali Maharshi Yogam, and Bhakti from Narada Maharshi. So from different sages what they have spoken and the Upanishad's conclusions, all together packaged is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a package of everything. The Kapila Maharshi's Sankhyam is in the second chapter. Patanjali Maharshi's Yogam is in the sixth chapter. Narada Maharshi's Bhakti process is in the 12th chapter. And so you will see what the great sages have spoken prior to Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. All these things the sages have already spoken about it through their own realizations. Krishna will never say, this is my opinion. Krishna also uses the authority always behind. Veda's strength is that. As far as Vedas are concerned, even if Krishna says something, if it is not in line with the Vedas, we keep Krishna away from everything. Veda is powerful. That powerful Veda is. For example, this is a very interesting thing. Just to see how Veda survived in the world. Only because of this. The authority is like that. Krishna, Ramachandra and others, they have come through this Vedic tradition. There is no founder as such, where everything started like that. That Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, Ramachandra spoke Rama Gita. It is there in the Ramayana, Ramachandra's Gita, Rama Gita it's called. So similarly, there are other Gitas also. Whatever it may be, Kapila Maharshi spoke Jnanamargam, Sangha Yogam, isn't it? So there it says that if Kapila's words, whatever Kapila has spoken, if it is all in line with the Shastram in the Vedic Vedas, then we will pay our respects to Kapila. Otherwise, we will pay your respects to you, but we'll keep your opinion away. We don't take it. We won't accept it. This is how the process is. So here, what Krishna is saying here, Krishna is also, that is how Krishna has created this tradition of the authority of the Vedas. That Krishna says here, that in the sixth chapter, if you look, you will see there, that dhyanam is not something that you can create. By constant the process as Krishna has spoken, that dhyanam should come to you rather than you going after dhyanam. When the chittavritti stops, when the chittavritti stops here, that all illusion knowledge has come inside through the process of chanting the holy name. We have developed this dharana process. Dharana has come and our attention is only on the soul. If that intensifies inside, in a very natural way, you will give up the attachment for this world, or the world will leave you. World will leave you. You don't have to leave the world. Forcefully to leave the world is difficult. But if the world leaves you on its own, either through bhakti or through jnanam or through yogam, doesn't matter. Dhyanam will come at that stage in a natural way without your own effort. And that is the dhyanam what Krishna is talking about here. If you look into the Bhagavad Gita also, you will see this in the sixth chapter. If you look into the sixth chapter, you will see when we discussed about dhyanam, Krishna says there, in the 20th verse if you see, yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chai vatman atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. Yatra chai vatman atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chai vatman atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. I'll read that translation. The stage of perfection is called trance or samadhi, when one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. To relish and rejoice in the self. That's what Krishna is saying. To be rejoice in the self, that is dhyanam. That is dhyanam. You will see the words, yatra jayu altman altmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. He is able, pashyan atmani tushyati. He is enjoying being the soul rather than being the body. At the moment, we are not enjoying, are we? Being the body. We are feeling. Being the body brings only problems. But when we start realizing we are being the soul, That is Pashyan Almani Tushyati. Krishna says there, isn't it? Yatra chaiva Almana Almanam Pashyan Almani Tushyati. That at that stage, what is happening here is one is ability to see that self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. Seeing by the pure mind means at that point there is no more mind. There's no more mind. Mind, basically the definition of the mind is chittavritti. When we say mind is chittavritti. By now what has happened is chittavritti has completely stopped. You are completely absorbed in the chit shakti now on. When you reach that stage. That's what it says here. Chaivan Altmanam. Chaivalpana Altmanam, he says, isn't it? Yatra Jaiv Altmana Altmanam. That the mind is gone and it is only soul now left. Only the soul left. There is no more mind. All the self-realized souls are in that state. There is no mind for them. Sometimes for Vyavaharam, there may be little trace of their mental vasanas coming forth in some way. But by and large, their mind has stopped functioning. No more chittavritti develops inside. If there is no chittavritti, chittavritti means thoughts developing inside. If that stops, then the mind has become finished. Mind is finished after that. There's no more mind. People are frightened if you tell them that what has happened to your mind? And if you tell someone you're not going to have any more mind, can't even imagine about that, isn't it? We are frightened about that. Somebody tells you there's no... But what we don't recognize is, it is this mind that's killing us day and night. It is this mind. And it's very difficult to come... At the same time, the relationship with the mind is, it is a very strange relationship. If the mind goes away, we are frightened. What's going to happen to me if I lose my mind? And that's why we have developed all these psychiatrists and all that. They got the job because of that. Because we have the mind. If you didn't have the mind, they have no job, have they? So imagine they want to keep it going so that they have something to do. So anyway, it's not criticizing them. What I'm saying from the spiritual point of view, it is like that. It is this mind. All gopis, they have lost their mind. They didn't have any psychiatrists after that. All the devotees who are talking, yanis, realized souls, they never had any mind. What is their mind? Because they are situated in the soul. Yatra jayu altmana altmanam, it says here. Isn't it? Yatra jayu altmana altmanam, pashyan altmani tushyati. All that's here, experiencing the soul and seeing only the soul's presence in everything. So what do you do then? Because we have the mind, we are able to see this world, all the duality in this world, all this... All this baggage we carry with us, envy, lust, anger, greed, everything, because only if we have the mind we can have it. Otherwise we couldn't have it, could you? So that's why, yatra chayu altman altmanam pashyan altmani tushyati. Krishna says like that there. So Krishna says here that state, when you have no mind anymore, that is a state of dhyanam, the meditation state. State of dhyanam. So, dhyanam can happen, and in that state, when that happens, Krishna says here, I am not this body, and at the same time, I am that pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. Shuddhavastu, nityam, nitya shuddha buddha mukta sarupam. That is what he calls it, purnavastu. This is all the qualities of the soul. Qualities of the soul is eternal. On one hand, we say satyajitanandam, eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. This is the one way of expressing the soul. Another way is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Sarupam. That means eternal, pure, that is the Bhagavad definition. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Sarupam. Bhagavad Gita definition is Satyajitanandam. So Nityam, eternal, Shuddham, pure, Buddham, fully conscious, Muktam, always liberated. Bhagavad Gita is saying all these things, isn't it? So none of these characteristics of the soul is experienced at the moment, isn't it? Why? Because of the mind. Mind will not allow any of these things to happen. But when you start realizing that is my true identity, what Bhagavadam is saying and Bhagavad Gita is saying, that I am that substance which is free from all the other impurities, and like the sky, which is pure and peaceful, totally peaceful and steady, and that is that meditation develops inside. But this meditation, dhyanam, will come and go. It won't stay. This is the problem. Dhyanam, it also will come. If even meditation, you can see, that meditation process, even if you manage to make it somewhat successful, it will come and it will go. It won't stay like that. Therefore, you can see here, it is good to stay in that dhyanasthiti. If you, one can stay in that state, it is nice to be there, but you will also find that difficult. Sometime, without your knowledge, mind will pop up again. Mind will come back again. So, completely absorbed in the soul or absorbed in Krishna, and Atmadhyanam, or once without allowing any Chittavritti to develop inside, Krishna calls it as Dhyanam. Chittavritti will develop definitely. It is not possible to stop it. And that is the nature of the mind. And mind will wander around with various thoughts inside. And therefore, it is the most difficult thing. Krishna says that, Bhagavad Gita says that, everywhere all yogis also acknowledge this fact that the mind is the most difficult thing. So it is because of that, they give the example like this. When the elephant goes through the street, normally when they take the elephant through the streets in India, there will be shops on both sides. And in the shops they hang the fruits, bananas and so many other different fruits they will tie for sale. If you let the elephant go through that route, he will put his trunk and pull out a whole bunch if he wants it from either side, because he doesn't know it's for sale or what. All he knows is it is for eating. That's all what he knows. So he'll put his hand, pull out. It happens all the time. He puts his trunk and pulls out before his mouth can stop him. He's not going to care anybody. He'll pull out the whole thing from him. So even sometimes he knows, have you noticed elephant size, both sides will be going like this, neither side. So he looks in that way and he is sensing everyone, what it is, what's available for to eat. And if a small quantity, it's okay, but he is never satisfied with a small quantity, isn't it? It's always huge quantity. A whole bunch of fruits, that's what he wants. And because it's impossible sometimes to feed the elephant to their satisfaction, always they are starving. They're always starving also. Some places they are fed well, but still they are always looking for something to eat. So the mahout or the elephant keeper, they found the solution to this problem. What they do, there is a kind of leaf of a tree, which they will cut it from the very bottom, and that means it will be about 8 or 10 foot long. It's a kind of a tree, like the coconut tree, but it's not coconut tree, another tree. Its leaf, it likes that leaf very much to eat. So it will cut a bunch of them, tie them together, and give it to the elephant before it starts the journey. So he has to hold it with the trunk like this. Once he holds that, then he can't do anything with the trunk. Isn't it? He will hold it, and then holding this, he will walk through the street of the shops, whatever it is, he won't do anything. He will quietly. So that's the way to tame the elephant. The elephant doesn't give you any problem then. Isn't it? He just follow with the elephant. The elephant keeper's job becomes very easy. He doesn't have to stop him from doing anything else, any mischief. So that's why I'm saying here. So Krishna is saying here, now important thing, that this way, the mind has to be given something. So, what do you give to the mind? Either you have to mind the form, Krishna's form, or you have to give the mind the holy name. That's all you can do. Either you give the holy name to the mind, or you give the Krishna's form to the mind. So, if that becomes natural in us, in a natural way, it takes over, then dhyanam will start, meditation will start. That is why chanting the holy name is not limited to 16 rounds or 4 rounds or 25 rounds or anything. It has to be done and it has to become a continuous process. When it becomes continuous, then dhyanam will start, meditation will happen inside. So, you at no stage you can give up chanting the holy name. Holy name has to remain in the tongue all the time. And if it is practiced, you will see many devotees in Vrindavanam and in Radhakund and all that. You will see continuously chanting, non-stop. They will chant the holy name. And you may think why? Because in that, after a while, what happens is the meditation has happening inside. The chanting process is going on, but inside dhyanam has taken over. Meditation has taken over. And when meditation takes over, then there is no other chittavritti will come inside anymore. Chittavritti has completely stopped. It is this dhyanam that Krishna has discussed in the sixth chapter, in the last chapter. The next chapter is Jnana Vijnana Yogam, which is the seventh chapter, is Jnana Vijnana Yogam. So here, Krishna is going to talk about now is, Jnanam means seeing the material nature is Jnanam. Seeing the material nature is Jnanam. And the effect of that Jnanam in me is Vijnanam. Remember? What you see in this world, knowing about things, that is Jnanam. But in spiritual life, what is important is what impact it has got on me, that's more important, isn't it? If you think about it, we are so used to looking into the world and analyzing everything. This is what the scientists are doing. Scientists are constantly studying the world outside, and they are thinking that what's happening here, what's happening there, their curiosity or the inquisitiveness is growing day by day. And they keep on searching, researching everywhere. That is a scientist's business. Spiritual side, the sages are telling us, you stop that going out business, looking for solution there. When your attention becomes that knowledge, whatever that knowledge, what impact it has got on you, that is more important. That is what is more important. That is Vijnanam. That is Vijnanam. Because as we said yesterday, that it is raining outside, that is Jnanam. But that rain is Krishna's activity, that is Vijnanam. Because that's a way to see that rain. That means it has become, it has its good impact on us. That Krishna is the force behind that. The force behind that is Krishna. So, that if you keep on giving attention to the world outside, where our attention is all the time, and what will happen is, it continuously grow in that direction. It will never stop. This is one problem with the world outside. You give attention to one thing. Suppose you are attached to traveling. You will make a plan to go to LA this year. Next year it will be whole of America. Another state after state, you can visit all states in America. After that, curiosity never stops. Let's start with Europe now next. We'll turn to this side. And go to country after country, then Scandinavia, everywhere. I have not seen that. I must see that country, what is happening there. This is the mind. Then you start thinking, oh, I never been to Africa before. Let me go to Africa. By the time you finish America, Europe, Africa, then there is left at the one corner New Zealand and Australia lying there. I've never been there. I should be there also. So go there also. So like this is endless this is, isn't it? This is endless, this is. By the time you finish all these round the world tickets, all the time, you finish all that, by the comeback time is over. Then there is no time for spiritual life after that. So because what happens is, if you allow the mind to go in that way, this this traveling business like that, it will keep on going and it will keep on bringing new things. If not, most of the people who have finished, very rich people who have finished with this world, they are the ones who are planning to go to the other planets now. And what is that great personality who is Richard Branson? He has already made the plans for the flights to the space, isn't it? Already that's happening in America now. That a special aircraft being built for that. They were showing that. So, those who are interested or not satisfied with this world, they have started the journey to the other planets now. And then he says, at least he feels very strongly about it. He says that in a few years we should be able to send those who can afford to pay that kind of money. So, what's happening now in us? how difficult it is to come to spiritual life, you can see now. You have so much money, but still the mind is dragging you outward more and more and more. And it'll go on like this endlessly. By the time, if ever this idea comes, I want to go inward looking, time is over. Finished, everything is finished, you are gone from this world. So short is this life. That is why Upanishads are saying is, turn inwards, turn inwards, turn inwards. Yajnavalkya Maharshi told his wife, Maitreyi, Maitreyi, Are Maitreyi, with a lot of affection. He is calling her, Are Maitreyi, Shrotavyaha, Mandavyaha, Nididhyasidavyaha. Hear the truth, reflect on that, Mandavyaha, Nididhyasidavyaha, and be fixed on the truth. Because the truth, what you are looking and searching in this world, is here, inside here. This is the... You see, Upanishads tells us certain things in a very nice way. He says there in the Kathopanishad that the Krishna created you like this, that everything outward, outward, looking outward. And then he goes and sits inside and telling us, go inward looking. It's a very difficult thing what he has created for us. It's the biggest difficult puzzle, I could say. That created us like this, all the senses, mind, all want to go out looking for happiness in some way or the other. Looking for happiness somewhere or the other. And then he goes and sits inside and tells us, now you look at me. And that is the Kathopanishad Paranjikani, that verse, famous verse. Who says this? Yamadharma Raja says to Nachiketas this. It is his words that you will find in the Kathopanishad. He says like that. So that is what is happening here. So you can see here that scientists, they are after the sky, the earth, the planets, the oceans, and the smallest thing, virus or bacteria or anything, and the biggest thing, Brihat, Anu and Brihat. This is all in their scope, in the scientist scope. So all that is, Vedas are not rejecting all that, but Vedas are saying to us one thing. In the middle of all these things, there is someone who is aware of all these things, who is hiding behind everything. Find him out. That first. That is the soul. It's a very nice way Upanishads puts it to us. Upanishads are not saying that you don't think about the oceans or the earth planet, other planets. They all exist. In the Vedic knowledge also, Vedic tradition also, all this knowledge is there about the planets and about the other things as well. But more important than all that things is, who is this person who is trying to understand about all these things? Go after him. That is the Vedic thought, which is very intelligent understanding of the reality. Because the other journey if you make, searching after them, trying to find the truth elsewhere, you will get nowhere. You get nowhere. So much science is done, still science has no answer. Where it's all coming from? Where it's all coming from? So Upanishads, and particularly the Brahma Sutram and Vedavyasa Maharshi and all the great sages, their conclusion is only when your attention moves away from the drishyam to the person who is seeing, that your spiritual life will begin. And that is when the answer will come from. The answers has to come from inside, not from the outside. The question what we have, where did all this come from? Isn't it? That is the exploration. What the scientists are doing is to get to know the truth. And then they came to this different conclusion about the soup, primordial soup or what they call it, was a soup. And then they told us about this Big Bang, all these kind of things, isn't it? And that will also change. Don't think that it will stay forever. That is, Maya is like that. Maya will make you convinced now it is the answer. After 30, 40 years, some clever man will come and bring another logic. And you will say, oh, people were so foolish in the past. They believed in all those things. Now we have got the real answer. And that will last for another 50 years and that will be gone after that. So soup will change into some cutlets or whatever it will happen, that something like that will turn into. So this is all nonsense. Actually, if you can see there, that so long as the attention is not on the soul, who is witnessing all these things, It's a very simple thing when you talk about it, isn't it? When you talk about it, it's a very simple thing. Somebody is seeing, they are seeing something. All the time the seer is busy with what he is seeing. Shastram is telling, forget about what he is seeing, give the attention to the seer, everything will be okay. Spiritual life will begin at that stage. So, now what is the problem with seeing? This is the question now. See, this Jnana Vijnana Yoga, there is a lot of subtlety behind it, the way Krishna has spoken that. That's why as soon as you move from 6th chapter to 7th chapter, you will see what Krishna is now talking about. Completely a different world. This Jnana Vijnana Yoga is like that. And Prabhupada has given the title as Knowledge of the Absolute, isn't it? 7th chapter. Knowledge of the Absolute. So it makes more difficult to understand what that is. So you can see here that this person who is looking for all this knowledge from the world outside, where is he? Who is asking this? Who wants to know this? Krishna used the same technique Uddhava also, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam you know. Uddhava raised a lot of questions. Question after question, Uddhava was firing at Krishna. Krishna didn't answer any question and smiled at Uddhava and told Uddhava, who is asking this question? Who is that person? You tell me, who is it asking that question? Only then Uddhava started thinking there is something more to it. That Uddhava could not even understand that at that point. He was saying, so that's why Krishna said, Sa esha jivo vivara prasudi. That instead of answering the question, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, who is asking the question? Who is asking the question? So you will see this, that in daily life also, it is an interesting thing. In daily life also, we have a nature. What is that? Our nature is like that. Every morning we get up, what are the problems today I have to deal with? That's the first thing in the mind. I have to solve so many problems today. Somebody is sick at home, or some doctor's appointment, or problem at work. Boss is giving some, told us to do something which are not done yet. So that has to be done. And there is some problem with the neighbors, some problem with the children at school. Like this series of problems every day. I'm talking about a householder life. Series of problems every day. So what do we do whole day? Solve the problems, isn't it? One after the other. So if you look at our beginning of life, when we went to school, also this is what was happening in the school also, isn't it? And that's what they have taught us in the school. From the nursery class onwards, what was it? There was an examination. Either you have passed or you have failed, isn't it? Passed or failed. Now, all these things, this creating problem, solving problem, is the function of false ego inside. If you understand this, it makes a lot easier. This false ego inside wants it all the time. It needs problem and it needs to solve the problem. This is what this false ego does inside. False ego won't be happy if you don't have problems. You'll be terribly upset if there is no problem. If somebody tells you there is no problem today, immediately you will think, what am I going to do today? There is no problem today. I have nothing. I have nothing to do, you will say. Therefore, we need problems. We need problems. So this nature of false ego, if you look into your own inside, you will see false ego takes a pleasure from this. It enjoys it. You can see that. As soon as the problem is solved, you feel a great happiness inside. I've sorted it out now. I'm feeling very happy now. Why? Because the false ego is feeling happy. Not that I'm feeling happy. The soul is not feeling any happiness from this. But the false ego is feeling happiness from solving that problem. So ego is always in need of a conflict. Conflict, it requires that conflict. And in order to have conflict, you need to. Otherwise you can't have fighting, isn't it? Unless there is somebody else to fight with, who will you fight with? So duality, dvandvam, is a necessity in the world for false ego to live in this world. In order for the false ego to survive, it needs duality. For example, so you can see here that, take for example, one of the most entertaining things in this country is football matches, isn't it? Football match. What is that great pleasure from that football match? As soon as there is a football match, you have to identify with one group. Either with Arsenal or with United, or with Chelsea or with Fulham. One of them, anyway, doesn't matter. You are a supporter of one of them. Doesn't matter who it is, you're a supporter of one of the teams. And then you go for the match. And if you win, you're happy. If you lose, you're unhappy. So this is how false ego survives in this world. False ego needs this. Actually, to tell you the truth, from the Shastram point of view, it's a mental disease this is. But you can't tell this to football supporters. They'll beat you up. Because their absolute faith in that football is so high that they will, because in each of these big stadiums, 80,000, 100,000 people are sitting there and watch. If you tell them, all of them are crazy in their mind, they're not going to let us go. Because they've already concluded we are crazy, isn't it? But if you look from Krishna's point of view, from Bhagavad Gita, if you look at it, it is a mental disease. This is a mental disease. Sanity, there's no sanity in that mind. That's why he needs this football match. He needs this football match. After working whole week, he needs some two fighting happening somewhere. And somebody should be fighting somebody else. And for that, season ticket or daily ticket or whatever, is willing to pay for that. So what is happening there is that you are, as soon as you go, you are not playing the match or anything. You identify with one group. That's the first thing what happens. You identify with one group and you have to win over the other group. You have to win over the other group. So, and this, if you win, you are happy. If you lose, you are not. Now, strictly speaking, I have no connection with either party. Either with Chelsea or with Man United. I have nothing to do with either of them. But why I have created an interest in one of them? Why did I create an interest in one of them? The only answer to that I want to identify with someone. I want to identify with someone. If I have no identification, I won't have a conflict. I want to create a conflict so that I can solve it later. This is the nature of the false ego. This is, we are discussing about the false ego's nature. How false ego operates in this world in a general level. That it will create that, and first it creates a conflict, and it manifests outside in the form of these matches, Olympics, Asian Games, Commonwealth Games, this game, that game, so many things. All this competition. And we give name to that in different, and we keep them in a very divine level, all of them. Oh no, all this is necessary in society. People think that, oh, I'm not doing anything sinful. I'm only doing a football match. There's nothing wrong in watching a football match, is there? They'll say like that. Why? Because they, as far as they are concerned, football match is not doing anything, any harm to me. I'm enjoying it. I'm not committing any sinful activities. I'm not breaking any regulative principles. I'm just watching the football and I'm just enjoying it. That's all it is. On a normal level, you can say like that. But if you understand what Krishna is saying here, Krishna is saying that this is a disease of the false ego inside. But nobody will tell you. Why? Because we have given a very divine status for all these football clubs, football matches, and all these competitions. We are given a very divine status to it. So, therefore, so if we understand that, all this is nothing but an expanded form of the mental illness inside. There is illness inside, mental illness inside. It has expanded in this way in the form of all these different games and entertainment and things like that. But, and it is... it is a kind of conflict or a war that goes on inside. That war goes us inside. And a kind of, there's some satisfaction what the false ego is deriving from inside. Spardha. And it creates that conflict. You can watch that all the time, isn't it? When the match is won, the party which has won will celebrate in a big way. Going, get into all the pubs and get drunk and fight, ready to fight and all. and all kinds of things happen. The ones who lost, they'll quietly walk home fully depressed and sit there. So when you see both sides of it, and when you have no involvement in that, what else can you say except that why are they suffering like this? What have they done to go through this misery in this way? So the important thing is, Krishna is saying here, a person who has found happiness inside, shanti inside, that he needs no entertainment from the world. That is shanti. The shanti definition, Krishna's definition is that when we start internal looking, going inward looking, and become serious about spiritual life, you won't be looking for all this kind of happiness in us. Through football or cricket or whatever in this world has to offer. Because that shanti, the peace, is coming from the soul. It is coming from the soul. So Krishna says like this, that he needs no entertainment from this world anymore. There was one Swami Ramadas, probably some of you may have heard about it. This Ramadas was a famous personality. So somebody asked Ramadas this question, why there is so much imperfection in this world? That was the question. So his answer was, there is no imperfection in this world, everything is perfect, and there is nothing to be reformed in this world. That was his answer to that question. Because actually he says there, the perfection is there in the soul. And when the mind is absorbed in the world, and it will continue to function in that way. What is that? It will try to create that it wants to win all the time. It wants to win. The mind wants to win all the time. The ego will push that thing. It has to win. So that is why very big endeavor starts from everybody, that somehow I have to win. At any cost, I have to win. So it is the same thing, that this same mood in us we impose upon Krishna also, if we look at it carefully. If you look at it carefully, you impose this ego-centered mind, we force it upon Krishna also. And you know why, how that comes out? Sometimes when you go through distress in life, people say, devotees say this, Krishna is testing me. Have you heard devotees saying like that? Krishna is testing me. In other words, we are making Krishna like an invigilator sitting there and conducting an exam, supervisor-like thing. That is Krishna's job now, that he has to test everybody all the time. This is our mind. It's coming from the same mood of the mind, nature. Krishna is testing me. He's definitely testing me. So in other words, he has become an examiner. That is what his job now. He has given up his other jobs. He has become an examiner now to test us what we are doing here. And sometimes like examiner, or you can say like a policeman, that's what Krishna's job now. That so long as that this feeling is inside, there is something to be frightened about in this world. And we will create like that. And only if there is a test, there is a success or a failure. If there is no test, there is no success or failure, isn't it? Because if we come get through the test, we will say, oh, Krishna has let me through the test. If we fail the test, oh, well, I failed the test. Krishna has not helped me to pass the test. People will say like this all the time. People, devotees also say this. I don't know why Krishna is testing me like this. Some serious problem comes in life, immediately he will say, I don't know why Krishna is testing me like this. I don't know why it is like that. So much fear. This is all coming from that ego. It has nothing to do with the truth. Krishna is never testing nobody. Krishna is not Krishna's job to test all of us. Krishna said, you have done the karmam, you pay for it. What do they say? Pay and play the time. Pay the no. Not pay as you go. Something else.
Pay the
price. No, that's not the answer. What is that? Pay the time. Yeah. So that is Krishna's approach towards us. You do what you've done, you pay for it. I have nothing to do with it. Krishna is completely staying out of the whole thing. If you read Bhagavad Gita carefully, you will see that Krishna has no involvement in anything what we are busy with. He has let us do what we want to do, and we continue doing, and we reap the results also from that, isn't it? There's nothing like that. But somewhere inside, somebody is telling us, no, 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 it's not like that. Krishna is there watching you all the time. And that we'll only say that when difficulty comes. Have you noticed that? When good things are happening, say suddenly everything is going very well, there will be no trace of Krishna there anyway in that. We will say, well, I've done that. That is also ego is speaking from inside. I've done all that. Ego has done that. And same ego comes in a different form and impose everything on Krishna. And make Krishna as an examiner or a policeman or whatever that is. That is also happening in that way. So, Krishna says here that either there is a success or there is a failure. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you come to this, you will see there that when this, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, at some stage, that it will get into our head. That what is that? That everything what we are experiencing in this world, the life in this world, is nothing but problem, solution, problem, solution, problem, solution. This is the whole process what we call life in this world. It's nothing but problem and solution, isn't it? So, this is life. So, from the smallest incident at home to the biggest thing in this life, it is only problem and solving the problem. So solving, creating problem and solving problem, that is what we call it as life. And that itself, it's a what they call as the problem or the solution, and you will get tired. One day, if you don't have any problems, you will get bored. You'll get bored because this is the only entertainment we have in this world, this problem and the solution. Suppose there is no problem solution, what will happen? It's a very serious question, isn't it? Because we have problem and we have got solutions, life is going on somehow. Krishna is saying to us, this problem solution business is the activities from the mind and the false ego. So, therefore, where so long as we have the mind, and the movement of the mind, if you observe, it is like this. So in order to have that, there should be distress in life, there should be happiness in life. So, so in order to have that, there should be distress and happiness. Or in other words, problem should be there, solution should be there. Problem solution manifests in our mind in the form of happiness and distress, isn't it? And that is what is keeping this life going in this world. So we'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.